L'chukta sichas chelik yud parsha miketz sicha beis. The pasuk says v'tirav kol eretz Mitzrayim, and the land of Mitzrayim was in the middle of the hunger years, and the whole country, all the people of Mitzrayim, was going hungry. Vayitzak amel parei lalechem, so the people cried out to parei for bread. Vayema parei l'chol Mitzrayim, so parei said to all the people, the Egyptians, l'chul Yosef, go to Yosef. Whatever he tells you to do, you'll do. Well, Pirush Rashi, so Rashi explains on this, after by first explaining the first part of the pasuk, Batirav Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, then he says, Matik Sefer the Kra, he quotes from the end of the pasuk, Asher Yemelchem Tasu, the words, whatever he tells you to do, you'll do. And Mefarish, and explains on these words, Lefi Shehoye Yosef Eimelechem, because Yosef was saying to them, Sheyamulu, that they should have a bris. So they came to Pari and they said, look what he's telling us to do. So he said to them, as will be explained soon, what exactly Yosef said to them. First, we're going to focus on the first part of Rashi. The Tzoruch Lavan, so we have to understand. Haloi b'posuk siv. In the pasuk it says Vayitzak ha'om el parei lalechem, that the people cried out to parei for bread. They came to parei asking for bread. Vayoyim parei l'chul Yosef. So parei said, go to Yosef. Shu'al pia miris parei l'Yosef l'fneze. And why did he send them to Yosef? This is based on what parei told Yosef earlier in the parasha. Val picha yisha kol ami. By your decree, that's how we will feed the whole nation. In other words, you're in charge. Vimkein. So it's understood what the simple meaning of the pasuk is very well understood. The people came to Parei to ask for bread, so he said, go to Yosef, whatever he tells you, that's what you'll do. Why does it need any matzarech bepirush klal? What explanation is needed here that Rashi tells us a whole story with a bris and so on? Even if you'll say for some reason there is something that needs to be explained, Rashi already tells us the basis of his approach to explaining psukim, and he repeated this basic rule many times, that he came only to explain the simple meaning of the pasuk. Or la agoda miyoshev is dibri amikra dabadibra alefanov, or when sometimes it's necessary to bring in a medrash in order to explain the meaning of the pasuk. Umanole le Rashi bepshudushal mikra. So how does Rashi know, looking at the simple meaning of the psukim, shemekaidem lozeh hoyu etzel Yosef, that before they went to Parai they already had gone to Yosef. And that when they went to Yosef, he had already told them that they should have a bris. And that's why they ended up by Parei asking for bread, and Parei sent them back to Yosef. How did you know about that progression of events? Gam kosha. We also have to understand adarabe. It would seem loshna kosov sheparei amalem asher yomer loshen osid lachem tasu. The way the Parei, the pasuk quotes Parei, he said to them, whatever he will tell you. Yoimar is something in the future. Anything that he will tell you, you should do. He didn't say, V'loy asher omar loshen over. He didn't say, whatever he told you to do, you should do. The pasuk speaks in the future tense. Mashma shadayin loy amalem yosedover binyan zeh. So from the simple reading of the psukim, it would seem that this was something new that he might tell them in the future, but not something that they were addressing, something that he already told them in the past. V'hine yesh mefarshim. There are commentaries that say, asher arichus l'shoyne shol parei, machricha loyme shol afnei, tzakas Mitzrayim el parei, hoye l'masa matnin Yosef. That because of parei's, the many words that the pasuk puts into parei's mouth, it's clear that there was already an exchange with Yosef and that this was a follow-up. Im noimar shetchila bo metzrim betakosem al parei v'hu sholcha machkach li Yosef. Because if you'll say that they came initially to parei and he sent them off to Yosef. He should have simply said to them, go to Yosef. What are you coming to me for? Go to Yosef, he's in charge. And since he adds the words, tasu, whatever he tells you to do, you should do. Muvan sheim kvar hayu etzel Yosef. So from this we understand that there was something going on here. He was telling them to do something. And Parai isn't telling him, yes, you must listen to what he tells you to do. That they were already by Yosef Shuamalem Dovashalasis, and that he already had told them something that they didn't want to do. Balzeba Mina Parai, and that's why he followed up and he said, Ashayim Lchem Tasu, what he tells you to do, you have to do. So maybe that's how Rashi knows that there was already an exchange with Yosef. Avakoshal of Parish Kane, but you can't say that this is what Rashi's approach is key, because Noisav Lazeshagam Lefi Piruze. Even if you accept this, how did Rashi know that the thing that Yosef told him to do was to have a bris? That's still not clear from even from the, with this answer. But in addition to that, as we said before, that since the pasuk is written in the future tense, anything that he will tell you to do. Muchach, it becomes clear, as we said before, Shadayin lo yamalem Yosef adover shaleim lasis, that he had not yet told them what it is that he wants them to do. Number two, beimra Yosef shel Rashi shahoy Yosef aymalehem, he mizesh pari hay tzarach letzabish yasu kamiris Yosef. If Rashi's raya that Yosef was telling them to do something, and how does he know that? It's from the fact that that Parai told them that they have to listen to Yosef. In other words, that from here we see that Yosef had been telling them something. Even though already Yosef had been put in charge of Mitzrayim, and therefore it would be understood that you have to do whatever Yosef says, but still, the fact that Yosef Parai had to tell them, no, you have to listen to Yosef, means that he was telling them something. If that was their proof, then Rashi would write it as explaining the words Asheyem Lechem Tasu. He would be explaining what does it mean Asher Yem Lechem Tasu. Mikan, from here we learn Shahaya Yosef Aymalahem, that Yosef was telling them to do something that they didn't want to do. That's how Rashi would have approached this if the proof was from the words Kol Hashayim Elchem Tasu. Mukayetzbe, or a similar thing. Meloshen Rashi Lefi Shahaya Yosef Aymer, or as Rashi says sometimes, because, but Meloshen Rashi, sorry. But since Rashi uses the terminology, because Yosef was telling them, it's clear that this is not something that he learns from these very words, Asher Yom Alechem Tasu, but rather that this is something that is we understand from somewhere else, not from these words. Because if it was from these words, he would have said, from these words we see that Yosef was telling them something they didn't want to do. Therefore, since Rashi doesn't use that kind of terminology, it becomes clear that this is something that we know, and it's not learned from these words specifically. So we understand something on our own, and now based on the fact that we understand that Yosef was telling them something, now we understand what he was telling them, something like that. In other words, that it wasn't that we're learning it from these words, but rather we know that he was telling them something, so now we understand the progression of what was happening with Parai and the people. Lahalam behemshach pirush Rashi. So now we go to the second part of Rashi. Aymer, the Rashi continues, ukshabo weitzel Parai va'aymrim kachu aymalanu. And when they came to Parai and they said, this is what he's telling us to do, amalahem, he said to them, lama loitzi bartem bar. Why didn't you gather your own? You knew what was coming. He told you that there was going to be years of hunger. Why didn't you collect food? Why didn't you store food for yourself? Amru Loisa de Setem Asafnu Harbe. We gathered a lot of food, Vyakiva, but it all rotted. Amalemi said to them, Imkain, if so, Koloshayem Lechem Tasu, if so, if that's what happened, then whatever he tells you to do, you have to do. Hare Gazar Alatfua Vyakiva. Because if he decreed that the grain that you stored should all rot, Maim Yigzar Alayna Banamas, what are you going to do if he makes a decree that we should all die? So therefore, that's why he told them, you better do what he tells you to do. The Gamba Zeh Kosho Lahavin. So this also needs to be understood. Number one, Kidleil, as we said before, Manole Loichiach, how does Rashi know Shem Mashmos HaKosav L'Fipshute, that the meaning of this pasuk, at least on the surface level, on the regular, simple meaning is, as called Divrei HaShakla V'Tarish, Ben Pari V'Mitzriyim. How does Rashi know that this, in the Pshut Shel Mikra, this whole exchange took place? Their food rotted, Yosef will kill them, and so on. The only thing that's written in the pasuk is they were asking for bread. That's all that it's written here. So how does Rashi know that they were asking about bris and that it rotted and that he might kill us? Where is all this exchange coming in Pshuto Shel Mikra? Beis la'achi she'amru ha'mitzriyim kefi pirush Rashi asafnu har betfua v'rikiva. As Rashi says, after the Mitzriyim said that we gathered a lot of food and it rotted, v'alzeh heishav lem parim came. So to this, Pari responded, if so, hainu, which means, v'kimashen lehem malechel, since they have no food to eat, tarein lefneim breira acheres, therefore they have no other choice, elokol hashem lechem tasu. They have to accept his terms and his conditions, because otherwise they're going to die. Ma chaser ba'avonus pshuto shel mikra. So that already explains the rest of the story. Now they were forced to accept Yosef's condition, otherwise they're going to die from hunger. So what more is needed? Shelachem Yosef, that now Rashi has to add another point. Ma gozar uma im yigzaru leinu v'nomus. If he was able to decree that the food should rot, so then he can also decree that we should all die. Why do we need that to explain the rest of the story? You have no food, you need food, he's telling you a condition, do the condition, otherwise you're going to die. Why does it have to become another exchange about if he's able to decree that the food should rot, he can also decree that we should all die? What is that necessary for? What does that explain? Gimel, Rashi Maisif Aloshana Kosov Kola Shiyemar. Rashi adds, anything that he tells you to do. The pasuk only says Asher Yoimar Lachem Tasu. What he tells you to do, you should do. Rashi adds Kol Asher Yoimar, everything that he tells you to do, as if there's more than one thing that he wants them to do. Dalid Aleinu, Pare said he will decree upon us that we should die. Kol Atzme Gamkein. In other words, he included himself into this decree that Yosef will decree that everybody should die. L'cheira Pari Mayinan L'gzeira. Pari wasn't included in this gzeira that he has to have a bris because otherwise he's not going to get food. So why is Pari including himself into the decree that everybody will die? Misa, hey, another question. Misa Mandchashme, where did death come up over here? Why did Pare suddenly decide that Yosef is going to want them all to die? Hey, Nemesh Shapirish Hazeb Klolus Shapirish Hashul Feni Makayda BeMedrash. Now it's true that this whole thing, Rashi takes it from the Medrash. The basics of that is found in the Medrash. Avalolo Yadua Klal Shakol Rashi BePirushay. But we know the rule that Rashi goes by in Pirush Rashi. Shemayvi Drashas Razal Rak Beim Mochachuli Yishuv Divrei Amikra. That Rashi only includes the parts of the Medrash which are necessary for the understanding the simple meaning of the Psukim. So this part, that everybody's going to die, why is that necessary in the Pasuk? Dalit. Another thing, more things that we have to understand, but in Pirush Rashi v'Medrash, in understanding this whole story in the way Rashi and the Medrash explain it. Number one, Ma hoya taima shel Yosef What exactly, what was the reason that Yosef wanted the Mitzrayim to have a bris? Especially if it goes against their will. They had no desire to do so. They had no interest in doing so. What? Why would he want them to do it? Ezatel is tagiyim azel. What benefit is there that a goy should have a bris? Number two, ala pasuk va'achas dimchem lenafshe seichem edresh. The pasuk in Bereishis, it's in the beginning of Bereishis, that it's in Noach, that Hashem says, "Your blood for your life, I will demand it." In other words, I will demand retribution. In other words, it's prohibited to spill blood. Pirush Rashi. So Rashi explains this: Shadimchem haynu ashev gadam atzmai. Your blood means that a person is even prohibited from spilling his own blood. So he said, in other words, shal pid derech apshat, that even in the simple understanding of things, osra teira lishpach dam atzmai, the Torah prohibits even a goy from spilling his own blood. Even in a way that will not lead to death or to severe illness or death. How do we know that? Like the previous pasuk that says the prohibition to eat eva menachai. That you're not allowed to eat, that a goy is not allowed to eat eva menachai. If he wants to eat an animal, he has to first kill it. So it says, its blood you shall not eat, shehu kemefurish berashi dam menachai, which means to include that you're not allowed to eat blood from a living animal. So in other words, that the blood of which the Torah talks is even if you if the animal remains alive. So therefore, when it says that you're not allowed to spill your own blood, it also means even though you'll remain alive. So therefore, there's a prohibition for a goy to spill his own blood. So from this, understand the pashtus inyan sheshaklevet torah by rabim. This also explains in a very simple way. The Rebbe says it's a parenthesis. This also explains in a very simple way a question, a matter which has been discussed back and forth by many, many commentaries. Why did Avram Avinu, it's the famous question, why did Avram Avinu not have his own bris before Hashem commanded him to do? Since Avshagam Oz, Kiyim Kolotayru Kulach Leinitna, since Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah before he was told, even though he wasn't told to, but the only thing he didn't do was have a bris. And he waited until Hashem told him. Why did he wait? And this explains it in a very, very simple way. The reason is because as a ben Noach, which Avram was, he was included with the other ben, he had the commands, the mitzvahs of the bnei Noach, so he was told that he's not allowed to spill his own blood. So it would be obvious that there is no hiddur mitzvah that he should go ahead and do something that he was not told to do, which is the bris milah, when he had a direct command from Hashem that he shouldn't spill his blood. So for him to have a bris, he would have been violating the command which he is bound to do, which is not spill his blood, in order to be mahadah b'mitzvahs, that he does even such mitzvahs which he wasn't told to do. But then, when Hashem told him to do the bris, so of course, when Hashem told him to have a bris, so of course he had a dispensation from the general rule of not spilling your blood, that for the purpose of the bris, which Hashem told him to do, he's released from that isur for this case. That doesn't mean that he was released from his isur for in the future. In the future, he's still not allowed to spill his blood. But in regards to the bris, he is permitted to. So therefore, this explains in a very simple way why Avram couldn't have a bris until Hashem commanded him to do it. In any case, we see from here that a goy is not allowed to spill his own blood. Therefore, he's not allowed to have a bris. So then we don't understand. How could Yosef tell the Mitzrim that they should have a bris? This is something which would have required them to spill their blood, which they, the Mitzrayim, as any other B'nai Noach, were prohibited from doing that, at least according to Pshut Shel Mikra. So to explain all of this, on the pasuk that says where Paray said to Yosef, "You will be in charge of my whole household," meaning it means the whole country, and according to your command, instructions will be fed. The whole country will be fed based on your instructions. Pirush Rashi, Rashi says, "Yishak v'yitzam v'yisparnes kol tzarchei ame yunasim al yotcha." They will be fed, they will be nourished, and so on. They will be provided for. All the needs of my people will be happen through you. You're in charge of doing all that. Hainu, shall Yosef hutl lefarnes as kol tzarchei hamitzrim b'mozin. In other words, that Pare put Yosef in charge. You're responsible to make sure that all Mitzrayim have food. The Yosef kibbal al zeh al atzmei, and Yosef accepted this responsibility l'malei tafkid zeh, to fulfill this position. Shehaya yedeya yaduah mafuzim l'chol mitzriim, and this was something that all the mitzriim knew about, that Yosef was now in charge. Koshim mitzriim b'psukim shalachi zeh, as we find in the psukim, v'yetzei Yosef v'yaver b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, that he went out and he rode in a carriage and he went through the whole land of Mitzrayim, v'yitzvei Yosef barkach eliyam harben, that he gathered all of the a tremendous amount of grain, of wheat, and so on. So it was well known that Yosef was in charge of the project. V'hine al pi zeh kasher v'tirav kol eretz Mitzrayim v'yitzkom no pari l'lechem. So that based on the fact that we know that Yosef was in charge and that the Mitzrayim knew that he was in charge, so the pasuk that says that when the Mitzrayim got hungry, they went to Paray to ask for bread, Einum ben klal. This needs explanation. Lama tzalka Mitzrayim el Paray lalechem? Why are they going to Paray to ask for bread? Paray kol tzarchi parnasasim mizaynim heim al yidei Yosef. When everybody knows that Yosef is in charge of providing food, so why didn't they go to Yosef? Therefore, we have to say shekitzra kasa bedorah pashut, that the pasuk doesn't have to spell out something which is self understood. It doesn't have to spell out every single step of the story. Something that you understand, you know, that it's of course without question that when you're hungry and you need food, you go to the person that has the food. So it's understood that they went originally to Yosef. Ki hu ha-shalit b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, because he was the one that was in charge of all the food of Mitzrayim. V'rak la'achash le'milez b'koshosom, and therefore, why did they end up going to Paray? That's the important part of the story which you wouldn't know without the Torah telling you, that they ended up by Paray, and you have to understand, why did they end up by Paray? The reason must be that he said no to them for some reason. And that's why they had to go to Paray. They had to go over his head. So therefore the question is, why Taka didn't Yosef give them food? That's his job. Why didn't he do it? Therefore we have to say Yosef bikish mehem davar ma, that Yosef made some sort of demand from them. Like for instance, they were selling, he sold it to them and so on. So in other words, that it wasn't just that he was distributing food for free. He was asking for something in return. He asked for money, so they gave him money. Then they didn't have money, so something happened that he asked them, as we know that he was asking for things, and they were not able to deliver that, and that's why they had to go to Paray. And then they couldn't agree to do what he asked them, and therefore they went to Paray, the king. They went over his head. So now the question becomes, so it's understood from the pasuk itself that since they went to Paray, there must have been some breakdown in the negotiation with Yosef. So he wants something, we can give it to him. So the question is, what is it that he wants? So from, if you look closely at the psukim that we already learned earlier, before these words, what he tells you to do, you'll do. We understand ourselves that Yosef must have been demanding that they should have a bris. It will come, and as I'll explain right now. Vav. So to explain, how do we know that Yosef was asking them to have a bris? When Hashem told Avram to have a bris, so first of all he said for yourself, but then he also said ubnei beisai, and all the members of your household, and he didn't mean by that his son Yitzchak, he meant all the slaves and everybody that everyone. So he said to him, the parshal himel yimel yelid beischo miknas kaspacha. You should have a bris for anyone that is born in your house, meaning the slaves that were born while they were your slaves, their mothers were your slaves, and anyone that you purchased as a slave. Shebapashas atam al tzibazehu. The reason for this telling him that they should have, that all the slaves should have a bris too. Since the people of his household, they are beholden to him, and therefore he has the control, but he control over them. And therefore, in addition to Avram and his family having a bris, it is also incumbent on Avram to impose the mitzvah of the bris on anyone that he is able to do. You have a slave, you have control over him, he has to have a bris. Alpizet, so based on this, that we now understand that the mitzvah of bris milah was not only for the Jewish families, but also anyone on which you have control. Since Yosef became the master over the land of Egypt, and he was in charge of the whole Mitzrayim, and without you, nobody should lift hand and foot in the whole land of Mitzrayim. In other words, that all the Mitzrayim were under his control, ubrishusay kemiknas kesev, as if they were his slaves. Im kenas svaranesenes. So therefore, it seems logical, b'pshuta shel mikra, in the simple reading of the psukim, sheyesh olav chiyuv lishtadol sheyin emulim, that Yosef had an obligation, just like Avram had the obligation to his slaves, the people under his control, that he had to give them a bris. So also Yosef, all the people under his control, he has to make sure that they have a bris too. So therefore, it's without question that Yosef was demanding a bris from all the Mitzrayim. It would have been natural for him to do that. Which explains also much more clearly the way Rashi words it, Lefisha Hoya Yosef Eimelem Sheyamulu. Rashi says, because Yosef was telling them to have a bris. Loi Lefisha Yosef Omar. It's not that Yosef told them. It was telling, Ela Eimer Betmidus. He was telling them, which means, he was constantly telling them. Not he told them to go get a bris. He was telling them, means that he was constantly demanding from them they should get a bris. This was something that he was always telling them. Obviously, when they were not so interested in listening to him, he had less opportunity to do it. But now that they, once the hunger started and they all have to come to him, so now, of course, he was making his demands more clear. and they were all had to come to him as their master. So now he had an opportunity to make his demands more, make a more of a demand. So which explains why Rashi says how Yoimer, that he was telling them this, not one time event. This was something that was ongoing. The Yaseidim is doing even more. So Al Pia now, Shemachuyev Yosef Lishtadl Shemulu, now based on this, that because Yosef was a descendant of Avram, and Avram was told that he has to have every one of his slaves have to have a bris, so therefore Yosef was also obligated to do that. Muchrach Leimer, therefore it's without question, we have to say Shekishachazak Arab Eretz Mitzrayim, that when the hunger became even more intense, and therefore the Egyptians all had to come to Yosef. Now he has an opportunity in which he can carry out this obligation that he has, which until now he was unable to actually make it happen, even though he was telling them, but he was unable to make it happen. Now that he has the opportunity to impose a condition, is he going to ask for money, or is he going to ask them to have a bris? Of course, his first obligation is to get them to make a bris. So now, when the people went to Paroi, they complained to Paroi, Shehu HaMelech, that Paroi is the king of Yosef, Urak Mishnah LeMelech. So they came to Paroi, he's only the second in command. You're the king over him. They were hoping that Paroi would override Yosef's decree. So Paroi said, no, go back to him, and whatever he tells you to do, you should do. In other words, that Paroi said, I'm not getting involved. And I'm not going to tell him to give you food without listening to his condition. Gamim lo yamulu, without you having your bris. Muvin shayitzarach loymar tam v'nimik al ze. So Paroi would have had to explain why he is, you know, dismissing their concern. They had a legitimate concern. They come to the man in charge, to Paroi. Look what this guy wants from us. Why don't you help us? So Paroi says, no, I'm not getting involved. Why aren't you getting involved? Isn't that your job to direct your second in command in a way that is normal behavior? So he had to explain why he's not going to do that. The Tanzim Mefarish Rashi, and Rashi explains what his reasoning was. Harei gozer ala tu avri kiva. He said to them, I'm afraid to get involved, because he made a decree that the grain should rot. Klema be'im ha'inyan she'ein lahem lechem. If it had been a natural thing, in other words, then whatever, they ran out of food or whatever the reason was, it was a natural thing, and now they need more food, and Yosef is making all these ridiculous commands, do something. So then it would have made sense. Paroi says, okay, you know, I'll tell him to ease up on you. But now that he realizes that the reason that you don't have bread was because of Yosef's doing, Mitzad Gzedes Yosef, he was the one that brought about that your food should rot. He has the power to control nature. How am I going to be able to force him to give you food? Just because I'm going to tell him, therefore, things are going to just happen? Because even if he does give you food, because I told him to give you food, he has the ability to just make it rot when you get home. So therefore, that could have been the reason why I can't get involved. But this alone is not enough of an explanation. Because, you know, what are you worried about what will happen later? At least now we'll have food. Tell him to give us food now. And then how do you know that he's going to do it again? Maybe he won't do it again. And even if he does decree that it should rot, at least we tried. We didn't lose anything. So we'll come back, and in the end, if we have to, we'll have the bris. But try at least to get him to ease up on that.
And therefore
we have to say that the reason that Pare did not want to get involved and to force Yosef to give them food without a bris is because he was afraid that something worse is going to happen. Not that he'll cause the food to rot again. Maybe he won't. There's nothing to lose. Try. But he was afraid of something worse happening.
Something worse than what the conditions are now. Which is Misa B'meshech Hazman Berov. What's the worst that they can expect now? If they don't get food, they'll eventually die from hunger.
So that's what the situation is now. I'm afraid to get involved because it could make the situation worse.
What is worse than dying eventually? Dying now.
That's what he was afraid of. That he's going to make things worse by trying to force Yosef's hand, because instead of letting them die eventually, he'll make them die immediately.
And that's what Rashi adds in the words of Parish Einle Shlita al Yosef. What he was trying to say is, I have no control to make him stop doing this.
To try to force Yosef's hand to do something that he doesn't want.
In fact, it's to the contrary.
Since we see that Yosef has some sort of a supernatural power to decree things which are supernatural.
If I try to force his hand, he could just decree that we should all die right now.
But we could say, Kiv and Yosef tzaddik hu, but since Yosef is a tzaddik, shalachain gzeira shaloi miskaimis, which of course, does he have the power to cause these kinds of decrees? Because he's a good person.
Therefore, ein chashash sheyigzer misa alom. Why would he just cause everybody to die? A tzaddik is not going to just decree death on a whole country.
Sharei ein hem machrichim oisim etzavim olav, and especially not the country themselves. The people of the country, they weren't trying to force him to do something that he didn't want. So why would he punish them by killing them?
Lachein al karach tzaruch lemeshom apari aleinu.
Therefore, what Pare was saying was, he's going to cause us to die. Why us?
Shehua machriach, because Pare was the one that was trying to force Yosef's hand.
So he's the one that is going to be the brunt of Yosef's attack, so to speak.
Gzeiru.
Behem shagar melakach. So it's me, and then you will also be included, because you also, you led me to this. So therefore, Pare was afraid that it's not going to be against you that he has his retribution. It'll be against me, who was the central figure of this, trying to force him to do things. And you'll be caught up in it because you are the ones that put me up to it.
Therefore, Rashi says that he said aleinu, that Pare will also be included.
But Dovazesh Pari Amalem Shib, Bekaychash will Yosef Ligzer Alein Shayamusu, Marumusu Gambaloshna Kosov, Ashayyamalachem Tasu.
And this that Pare said, was saying that Yosef has the ability to cause us all to die, is also alluded to in the word Ashayyamalachem Tasu. How?
Ashayyamalachem Loshin Osi Tasu, when he said that which he will tell you to do, not that which he told you to do. It seems that he wasn't referring only to that which Yosef had already told them that they have to do, which is the bris, because he was using a future tense. Why is he using a future tense? That he was including also something which, even if he tells you to do something else, you're going to have to do that too. You think only the bris, whatever he tells you to do, even in the future.
Why is Pare suddenly thinking that Yosef is going to tell them to do more than just the bris. Why is he including something from the future as well?
Therefore, Rashi says that why did Pare use a future tense?
That through this he was indicating to them why they are forced to do that which Yosef had already told them to do, which is to have the bris. And that I have no ability to tell them to back off. Pare has no ability to tell them to back off. They should feed you without the bris, which is not something he wants to do, because it's possible that he'll say something in the future which he hasn't said yet. In other words, it's not just that he told you to have a bris. He could say something in the future too, which is going to be even worse. That's why Pare used the future tense. Because he's not worried about what he told them till now. He's worried about what could come out if he says something in the future which will be even worse than what he said till now. In other words, in that word Yoimar is already alluded to the fact that Yosef has more that he can say. He can even kill us if he wants to. So you better go do what he tells you and don't think that I'm going to be able to prevent Yosef from carrying out this decree. So that answers all those questions. And in this Rashi we also have some Hasidic understanding and principles that we can understand from this Rashi. It's explained in a number of places. And the difference between Yosef's Aveda and the Shvatim's Aveda, that Yosef, since he was what's called a Merkava to Atzilus, in other words, his Neshama and so on, he was functioning on the level of Atzilus. The whole Olam Hazeh, in the world of Atzilus, there is no negativity. So therefore, the whole Olam Hazeh did not rate anything in Yosef's eyes. And therefore they didn't interfere with him at all. They didn't interfere with his avayda at all. Therefore Yosef could afford to be the king of Mitzrayim, which was a great amount of exposure in terms of moral and spiritual levels. Makam shutaklus ashiflus, a place in Mitzrayim which is the lowest place. It's the place hayirida v'atirda shuvayil mazeh. It's the place of the lowest and the most, the greatest descent in this world, and it's a place of a great distraction in this world. Im kolzeh hayibatachlus aliyah v'advekus belukus. So he was in Mitzrayim, he was the king of Mitzrayim, running Mitzrayim, and he was at the same time, even though Mitzrayim presented such a great challenge, he was still connected with the greatest dveikus to Elokus. Mashenken Ashvatim, whereas when it came to the Shvatim, Liyesim Mepchinis Merkava de Bria, since their levels were in the level of Bria, where there is already a beginning of the realities of the world, therefore they had to remove themselves from worldliness. Therefore they chose to be shepherds, because a shepherd can go off into the forest, into the pasture. He doesn't have to deal with people, in other words, the type of people that he doesn't want to deal with, and because they would have been distracted by the klippas in the world, therefore they had to remove themselves from the klippa, whereas Yosef, he lives in Atzilus, and therefore the whole world doesn't rate at all, and therefore he can be submerged into it without him and affecting him at all. So from this Rashi we learn something even more than this, that not only didn't the whole world and all of its things not dissuade him and distract him from his connection to and avodas Elokeinu and his avodas Hashem, ela shepol v'shpia gam ba'olam shemechutz mimenu, that he even had the power to be able to influence the world around him. Not only did he influence the world around him, but he was able even to force the people of Mitzrayim, she Erves Haaretz, which is the lowest place in the world, she Yamulu, that they should have a brisul achnia bazeh as bechinosam, and to therefore subjugate themselves, sheheim shtufezima, that their challenge was that they were immoral in those in Yonim. And therefore he told them to have a bris, which was what tempered their being involved in such a morality. That even Pari himself, Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Mitzrayim, Tziva Aleim L'Shmael Yosef, commanded them to listen to Yosef Olam Olos Atzmam and to have their bris. In other words, that not only was he so beyond Mitzrayim, beyond being caught up in Mitzrayim, that he was able to continue to do Avodah, but even was able to influence them and to force them to subjugate themselves, and their very, the place that they were the most challenged, and that they should temper that challenge as well. And not only them, but even the king of Mitzrayim and so on. And this is the lesson teaching every one of us. Yisrael Nikru B'Shem Yosef, the Yidden in general are also tie into the name Yosef, because of Noyak Hatzayim Yosef, as it says, he leads the Yosef like his flock. In other words, that's referring to the Yidden, that the Yidden are also called by the term Yosef. In other words, that we also have within us some of the power of Yosef, and therefore each one has the ability, wherever he is. Even if the people around him are in a very low spiritual level, very distant from Yiddishkeit, and so on. Therefore, not only should a person not become distracted or overwhelmed by the coarseness of the place that he lives, and shouldn't fall, become depressed or dejected, and he has to strengthen himself that he should be complete in his Torah and mitzvahs, and that not only that, but he also has the power to be, have an influence on the world around that is outside of him. All the Yidden that are there, and that eventually, if one through the proper conduct and so on, you can even be an influence on the goyim around you. Shagam b'nei noyach yikaimu azay mitzvah shalem, that the goyim should also do their mitzvahs. Ba'atshi yistakan abiyizbaru kol en kuli, until the whole world will become corrected and fixed and purified. And then when that happens, niskel abiyiz Mashiach tzedkenu, we will be zeichet to the coming of Mashiach l'kiyum ayud, and to fulfillment of the a prophecy, Ka'oza Hapachal Amim Safa Barura, that then I will turn to the nations in a clear language. Likra Kulim B'Shem Hashem, they will all call out in the name of Hashem, Allah of the Shechem Echod, they will all serve one master together.